Wade Rathier with the Chief Organizer Report on Faith, Thanksgiving, and the Millhunk Herald. The Millhunk Herald is likely a quarterly publication you've never heard of or long forgotten. It was a Pittsburgh-based, scrappy, and chaotic voice of an array of blue-collar workers during the 10-year period between 1979 and 1989. Whenever it arrived, it was a jumble of stories, poems, and whatnots that spoke passionately of the fate of steel workers and similar workers caught in the grinding process of deindustrialization, almost impossible for them to fathom in voices that demanded to be heard but were constantly ignored. I forget how I stumbled onto the publication, but I was a subscriber for years until suddenly, as mysteriously as it had sprung to my attention, it slithered off into an unknown darkness. I was a fan, though, for the simplest of reasons. I think we simply must build and support voices for the voiceless. Voices without filters, and voices that are authentic, voices leaping over mediation and defying dilution and passive interpretation. KBF and our Voice of the People radio stations continue to be part and parcel of the deep rock commitment and worldview that that expresses. What am I talking about? Well, from a book called Hands by Janet Zandi, we have a good description of the mission and methods of Larry Leif Evans and the Herald. A self-proclaimed worker rag, the Millhunk Herald is described by editor Larry Evans as not always a class act, but definitely an act of class. And more seriously, a microcosm of what an unleashed workers' education, self-education movement might look like. Evans describes some of their imaginative strategies to undercover and bring forward workers' alternative true voices. To seed the ranks of our writers, eventually numbering 741 over 10 years, we took on the local papers and union publications, boasting that we would be a democratically run publisher for all working people. We recruited from the rankled rank of mainstream letters to the editor writers. We clipped their letters and forwarded our invitation to write for us. Of 80 folks approached in this way, 63 sent us submissions. Some sent trunk loads. Not long ago, I got a blurb at Social Policy about a book by someone named Leif Evans. The title was so bizarre that it caught my eye. Viking Women Don't Care, a creative nonfiction memoir, Volume 1, Wrestling with Baltimore. Normally such a bulletin calls for the recycling bin, but looking at the blurb, I saw the mention that in a former life, Evans had been the spark plug behind the Millhunk Herald. Now that had my attention, so I responded that they should send me a copy of this Viking Women thing, and I'd see if we could excerpt it in Social Policy. Finally, weeks later, I got a copy, in fact, two copies, since I'd written a What's Up email to Evans about the first copy. A quick scan of Viking Women revealed that it was what it promised, a romping riot of writing about Evans' early life in Baltimore. What it wasn't was a look at his time in Pittsburgh in the mills and as editor of the Millhunk Herald. So I wrote Evans back, and I said I wasn't sure how to do an excerpt for Viking Women and Social Policy, unless he had some better ideas. But I'd be happy to interview him on KBF's Wade's World about the Millhunk Herald, and he could mention his Viking Women piece as well. Furthermore, once he finished the next volume that promised to cover the Millhunk Herald, we'd definitely excerpt that. He was game for the interview, but he was teaching a writing course every Friday morning from 9 to 11 at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, every Friday except Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. No problem, I said. We'll do it then. So we had a deal, and it went on the calendar, and I promoted it before Thanksgiving. The Monday before the show, I realized I didn't have his phone number, so I sent him another email asking him to send it along. Thanksgiving afternoon, after all of our many blessings were counted, I looked at my email and still didn't have a message from Evans. No problem. I'll Google the university and come up with it. No trace of an Evans. Not on Facebook either, or on a plain Google search. I remember, though, that his email said Larry Evans, even though he signed the book to me as Leif. So I Googled Larry Evans from Pittsburgh, and finally a story came up. To my shock, though, it was an obituary. On his way to a book signing only a couple of days after our last correspondence, he died in a car accident, possibly triggered by what they called a medical event. Obviously, I didn't know Evans personally, though I knew his work 30 years ago and his book now. But the random way that fate plays with our plans and life itself is a reminder that on Thanksgiving, we not only have our families to be thankful for, but to remember that every breath of life and minute of time is transitory, a blessing in itself, and a warrant instructing us to make the most of every second of our time. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.